We're going to give out the one-minute warning. One-minute warning, please. All right, if we could start making our way back to the chairs, we'll get back underway. Amazingly, we were pretty well on schedule this morning, so.
UAMS guys, break it up back there.
All right. Well, thank you all for getting back. I hope you enjoyed your lunch. Skip, do you have some opening remarks to start off the afternoon?
Thanks. Just following up on my closing remarks. We're talking about high-level framework kind of stuff here, and one of the thoughts that evolved over lunch after a couple of discussions was, maybe we're not looking at one set of measures. Maybe we're looking at two. One being the actual performance of a system, the other being something that looks like a capability index, because, again, going to where we think this is headed, pay for performance and adjustments of compensation, the best any given regional system can do is the best it can do, and that may not be the same as the region next door. So just a thought.
Oh, very good. Well, thank you. Glad to hear that it was a working lunch. So we are going to move into the definitions section, and I believe we have some PowerPoint visual aids for this section. So I will turn it back over to our folks at UNC to kind of lead us through the definitions. And remember, like I said before, these are very much working definitions, but they are definitely subject to modification. So if you do see some things that stick out and would like to make a few amendments here and there, we're certainly open to that as well. So, Chuck, are you going to be leading the way?
My pleasure, Andy. So we talked about in the framework concept that there were key terms and definitions that really needed to be decided upon. And we realized that there have been a number of attempts to define these terms. But in recognition of the functional aspects of this project, we felt it was important to get something down on paper, at a minimum as a straw man, if nothing to kind of inform what the next steps are in the framework. So we plan on running through these, and so if I could get next slide. The first is emergency care. So we are defining emergency care as health care that is provided in an emergency department, emergency medical services system, or acute care area of a hospital. A further clarification around this is that emergency care refers to the treatment of high acuity or life-threatening conditions in an expedited fashion, recognizing that timely care of emergency patients may prevent morbidity or significant, prevent mortality or significant morbidity. The next term is regionalization. Regionalization refers to the concept of an established network of resources that delivers specific care, for example, protocols, definitive procedures, higher care levels or care pathways that is not universally available in the out-of-hospital setting, for example, a physician's office or in some acute care hospitals. Importantly, regionalized does not equal centralized care. Third key term, system. A system or system of care is a coordinated chain of healthcare providers and associated infrastructure, including both in-hospital and out-of-hospital components, that delivers care to patients with specific emergent medical or surgical needs. Next slide. A system of care may exist to serve a particular geographical area, patient population, or disease condition. The out-of-hospital component may be represented by the pre-hospital, for example, emergency medical services, recognition of a time-sensitive condition and initiation of a system of care, or it could also be represented by the transfer of a patient for definitive care within a regionalized network. Yes.
Given your initial definition, of emergency care, would a patient who is hospitalized in an acute care area of a hospital who suddenly develops an emergent condition, either related or unrelated to the reason they're in the hospital, would that count as part of this as well? Or are you meaning to focus only on care that is initiated outside the hospital?
Great question. Art. So I think that's something the group can decide on. Clearly, there are going to be cases where patients are going to be sent to a setting that does not have the specialized services they need, and they could have a time-sensitive, life-threatening condition that will require transfer or management in another facility. So from the perspective of the eventual destination, that was an out-of-hospital transfer for an emergency care condition. I would also understand the perspective of the episode of care started with the initial condition and then followed them through those different units of service. So that's, I think it's something worth discussing. No, it's great. I think part of the, you know, I didn't preface my remarks. I'm trying to make this as interactive as possible.
One comment regarding that. I know from the perspective of American Heart Association, many of our courses, especially those in resuscitation, advanced life support for adults and for pediatric centers around both the out-of-hospital and in-hospital emergent event and how that's treated differently than what would be the routine care provided on a medical ward or in a pediatric facility. So I would not like to see that we exclude an emergency event, you know, particularly from the area of training and also in the concept of many facilities that have organized medical emergency response team where that's becoming a growing body of knowledge in and of itself of how to deal with those pre-arrest events and how to manage those again differently from routine care measures.
Sure. Do you want to go through these and then come back and relitigate them all? Do you want to do it one at a time? What's your preference here?
Whatever works for the group, Andy.
Okay.
I certainly could go through them. They're not extensive, and then we could go back to key terms.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get through them all, then we'll come back and relitigate the issues if need.
Fair enough. Did you say relitigate? Well, the good news is that I think the next slide starts the domains. So if you want to go back to the definition, Andy, maybe this would be a good opportunity to do so.
Okay. Yeah, why don't we go back to the first one?
So I believe the first one was emergency care?
Yes.
Okay. So, emergency care. We have comments around the table about the working definition. Oh, for God's sake, you're supposed to be up here. What are you doing?
I'm not chairing the session, so I get that part of Chuck, personally, I like the second paragraph a lot more than the first paragraph because it's generic rather than provider organized. And the other limitation in my mind with the first paragraph is that you're leaving out another very important component, which is the bystander. And that's not just for cardiac arrest. It's for trauma and a lot of other things. In particular, we're talking about disasters and resilience. Community engagement is going to be more and more important in systems of care. So I would back away from a provider focus and consider more of the conditions for defining it, because it starts with the next-door neighbor, the family member, the witness.
All right, Rick?
Yeah, just to further, and I actually look at it not from the provider, but it's actually the location of care, and I think that's going to change dramatically, so we might limit ourselves as this thing grows in time, given the comments made by others. I do like the second paragraph quite a bit.
All right, Nick?
Going back to something I said earlier, I think I do also like the second paragraph more, but I think it still also requires somebody to have identified an emergency exists in order to know. And in the 911 world, that really starts it with dispatchers doing triage. So they're not always thought of as being part of the healthcare system. But it starts very early in the process,
or could.
Skip, do you have a comment? Your pen is still up there?
No.
No. Okay. John?
I'm sure there's a way to reconcile it, but, for example, if the health care that's provided in the emergency department was, say, obstetrical or burn, and it might be in a high acuity treatment area that's not exactly in the four walls of the emergency department. I'm sure there's got to be some way to reconcile that.
Jesse? Just thinking about that second paragraph, I mean, getting back to the initial comment that I made, what percentage of emergency department care really is encompassed in that second paragraph? I mean, that's you know, part of what we do, but that's not really the majority of what we do. So when we seek to define that, you know, particularly when it comes to regionalization, it may be helpful to broaden it a bit. To just a thought.
Go ahead, Rich.
I think there probably should be mention of the episodic or unscheduled nature of the care as well.
Yeah, that's a very good question, and I think we need a little bit more discussion by the group. Are we speaking about, you know, in effect, fast-track care? Are we including that in our, do we mean to include that in our definition of emergency care or not? I'm not sure I know the answer to that question, but my guess is that, the greater public is probably more interested in the emergency component of it than the fast track component of it. I may be wrong, but I just raised the issue for discussion.
I mean, I agree. I think it's difficult, and I think my personal bias is to stay more focused on the true emergency, life-threatening high acuity, except that the rest of the patients in the emergency department have a great effect on the resources and availability and access of those high acuity patients. So I think it's definitely a part of the process, whether it's absolutely defined in this paragraph or definition, maybe not, but I think they have to be a strong consideration of the system and how you monitor the system's effectiveness.
I think that's a great point. That's going to be really key. Of course, people in the room understand that, but as we expand this concept beyond, people are not, you know, familiar with the intimate details of what we do on a daily basis, it's important to capture that very sentiment. Other comments, Tom?
Yeah, just to follow that, I would think the definition of emergency care would focus on the care, and the point that's being raised about location would follow in the system or one of the other definitions. If we decide to retain the first paragraph, though, I think we need to identify what we mean by emergency medical services. Are we implying the pre-hospital care piece, because there are varying definitions that, depending on who you're talking to, what it really means.
Yeah, I know this was an issue that we struggled a little bit at the conference that, you know, Brendan and Rick hosted not too long ago, and of course the IOM struggled with this as well, as many of you are intimately aware. So, Chuck, Jeff, any comments on the definitions, some of the thoughts that you've heard?
One, I thought this was excellent discussion. And, you know, when you think of a system of care and we take the episode of care model, it's easy to try to put these into frameworks of systems we could hold accountable. But I think taking a step back and just looking at the second paragraph and saying this is what we want to define emergency care, and then put that into the framework, would open up, first of all, phase one, for everything from preparedness as well as community engagement. And then number two would still allow us to have frameworks within units of service, including bystanders. So I think this is a very robust discussion.
I would just add one point. I agree with what Dr. Mayer said regarding that the bias may be to stay on true emergency care. And the only thing I would add to that is the extent that the sort of urgent care components that Dr. Cooper mentioned, which are important, clearly, especially as they impact the care of acute patients, may be less relevant to a regionalized system. You know, you don't necessarily need regionalized ankle sprain care. And so for that reason, we had sort of focused more in our brains on the high acuity, life-threatening side. But I think I agree, it's a good discussion.
Just to expand on that, I mean, when we have a word up there, it says timely care, and basically most of the diseases we're talking about today are time is measured in minutes, but time, you know, could also be measured in days and weeks, and we, Ron talked about the access issue, you know, and to give a clinical example, someone who comes in with chest pain, who doesn't have an AMI, are we talking about regionalization for that individual? And we're not, you know, that patient wouldn't be seen in the urgent care side. And I agree that when we're talking about we're not talking about ankle sprains here, but we're talking about the most common complaints that people come into the emergency department which are chest pain and abdominal pain, and a fraction of those actually have time-dependent diseases that are time-dependent on the order of minutes and hours and maybe even days. So when we're thinking about a regionalized system, I think it'd be more helpful to broaden a little bit and think, you know, perhaps more complaint-based. You know, for someone with chest pain, you know, the 2007 ACC guidelines that low-risk chest pain should have a stress test within 72 hours. You know, is that the job of regionalized systems to ensure that actually gets done, assuming that they don't show up with ST segment elevations?
So would you like to say the word timely removed? Is that your suggestion, or what is your...
I think we are talking about timely, but I think we might want to have a qualifier in there about exactly what we're talking about. Perhaps... I'd have to think about exactly the wording, but I think the notion that timely care means, you know, from the patient perspective, getting access to the medical care that they think they need in a timely fashion from their perspective.
Okay.
And also from a guideline perspective.
John?
So the real question is, do you want to capture the universe of patients who get their medical care in an emergency department, or do you want to go in the direction of a disease-specific registry that's acuity-based? Because that sounds like where you're trying to go. You're trying to go to if you're this sick or sicker, then we want to record you. But if you're less sick than that, we don't want to record you.
Well, I certainly think those comments have been reflected before. I think there's definitely the people that are always going to be there no matter what, and I don't know that we can exactly qualify if they're there for emergency purposes or not, but they are still there, so we can't just discredit them. But I'm kind of inclined, like Jeff was saying, are we really going to set up a system for toothaches and ankle sprains and this kind of stuff? Is that really the intent of regionalization? So it is a little bit of a quandary, and I appreciate everybody's input on that. Now's the time to speak up, experts, and let your voices be heard. With that, Dr. Carr,
I think that we're describing, I think emergency care captures a piece of this. It captures the piece that I think most of us in the room are talking about building regional systems around. I just think there's another term that isn't on here that is the broader picture of what gets done for unscheduled care. So would it change things to add another definition to say, you know, to describe what acute care is or unscheduled care or something like that, or and to create a definition around that, and then to say that a piece of that, 10% of it, I don't know what the number is, Jesse, you keep sort of asking somebody to put their neck out there and say what proportion of what we do, some smaller percentage of that is emergency care and is the piece that needs to be regionalized.
And that may, you know, play into some of the stuff that Skip and, of course, Gary have been talking about with their community, you know, EMS programs, community paramedicine, all that kind of stuff, would still be kind of captured in that second bucket of, you know, unscheduled care or maybe something that's not, under this definition, classified as emergent care. So that might be a good idea.
I think we have to define for ourselves whether we want to define emergency care as what we would like for it to be or what it is now, and most likely what it will continue to evolve to be in the future. Even within the same definition of EMS, truly we're an emergency medical service, but probably only about 10 to 15% of what we do are the emergency components. The 80% is big MS, the medical services. So, again, I think we should consider not just what we envision it to be or should be, but what in reality it is and how the community uses us.
You know, it's interesting because we obviously took a functional approach as we put together our thoughts in the framework draft. And so I think that one thing's true is that this area has evolved rapidly. As an example, discussing with Art Kellerman during the break, that at the NIH Roundtable on Medical and Surgical Emergencies, and by the way, they took on the whole area. The first time we met with them, the NIH directors, Dr. Sahuni said, what is the hypothesis for emergency care? In other words, what is the basis for the field? We responded back saying that time makes a difference in people's lives. And we were able to find 14 conditions where time has proven to make a difference in terms of reducing mortality, and the time is measured on the orders of minutes to hours. And so if you were to take one perspective of that status of the field, we say that time-sensitive, mortality-reducing conditions would be a focus of emergency care. I would hope that the evidence will expand beyond those 14 conditions, and I suspect that there'll be a number of conditions once these systems are in place that will also become targets for intervention. So in that sense, clearly the current status is a valuable construct. When we talk about what it may move forward in the future, just an observation, 50% of patients admitted to my hospital now come to the emergency department. That's up from 35% 15 years ago. So our role in the healthcare system emergency care's role in the healthcare system is clearly increasing. And to not recognize that evolution and challenge, I think would also be difficult. So I gave you a split answer. But I do think one of the valuable things in this framework is for this group to define it. And this is an opportunity to talk about how it will be defined for a population and a geography.
Go ahead, Jesse.
I mean, I don't have any great answers, but I guess one of the ways to think about it may be what patients that we see with, you know, certainly the patients with MI and the really critically injured and a few other diseases that would benefit from regionalization, but what patients that do we see on a daily basis who would potentially benefit from regionalization? And it's probably not the dental pains and the ankle sprains, but it definitely goes beyond that group of conditions that we're talking about. So if we're thinking about regionalizing a system, I think taking it from a patient perspective and, perhaps coming up with a set of conditions or, expanding that list of 14 to things that, that we see commonly that could, that for the most part are taken care of by us. There are, when you have chest pain, you don't go, in general, you don't go to urgent care centers and retail clinics. That's what we take care of. We take care of abdominal pain. Looking at the top 10 list of things that we see and thinking about from a complaint perspective rather than a disease perspective.
Dr. Wright?
We had this thread of discussion, particularly Chuck's comments about the role of emergency care in the broader healthcare system, is leading me as to suggest that if we don't consider the functional aspect of what emergency care is about in the context of the broader healthcare system, what we miss is the opportunity to really address the resource consumption that is at play when we want to deal with the time-sensitive and need to deal with the time-sensitive conditions and have the other, I'm picking out a number, Brendan, that 70% of what goes on or whatever that consumes resources and perhaps impacts the time-sensitive delivery of care. The other element of that comes into play is that, just like you, all of us are experiencing an increase in these ambulatory care sensitive conditions in the department that if I think we have an obligation to contribute to the definition of not just the time sensitive but the non-time sensitive things that don't need to be there and begin to suggest where they are best cared for, how they're best cared for, and I think if we don't recognize that in the context of our discussion and our framework here, then we will not be informing the rest of the system as we should.
Would your recommendation be to have create an additional definition then, or would you like to see this one modified?
I think that a more expansive definition that does recognize the non-time sensitive conditions that functionally do operate in the emergency care environment.
Rob?
So I would like to argue against that approach. To me, the concept I thought we were addressing is how do we deal with time-sensitive disease? Maybe that's not why we're here, but I thought that's why we were here. And it's more than just what happens in the emergency department. It's what happens, do you have the operating rooms available? Do you have the ICU beds? Do you have the rehab do you have the access on the front end for time-sensitive diseases? Not that what's being discussed is unimportant. And the fact that if it keeps going the way it is, it may collapse the whole emergency regionalized system. And that's why I say it needs to be a factor. It's a great risk factor to being able to deliver time-sensitive care. But to me, it should be brought in that sort of construct that it's a major business of the emergency department. It has a major potential negative impact on optimizing time-sensitive care, but what we're trying to do is look at a way to optimize development of the system to ideally deal with the time-sensitive diseases. And bringing in these other things, there are going to be negative impacts on that, but truly focus on that and the longitudinal aspect of it, which has never been done before. We've gotten stuck in the emergency department. What can the emergency department do for acute MIs? What can the pre-hospital people do for acute MIs? And to me, this is the opportunity to look at it as a, quote, system approach to the disease, which is time-sensitive illness. And that's never been done. And to try and bring some standards of care to that process for multiple diseases.
All right. Let's go to Alan.
Sounds as if we're just trying to define three concepts under the umbrella of emergency care. And at least the three concepts I'm hearing is what is an emergency, what is emergency care, and then what are emergency services. So perhaps we might need to, if we're really attempting to define those components, is to define those individually and not attempt to try to define that all inclusively under one term. Rick?
You raise an interesting point going back to John's point earlier. I think, you know, every day under federal law, I have to determine whether an emergency medical condition exists or not. And I do that very well, though I have no idea what that is. Okay, I mean, it's true, right? It's very subjective. But it's interesting, if you're going to measure the system, and the system is required by federal law to deal with emergency medical conditions, we ought to have probably maybe add some light to what that definition is. Is it time sensitive? And I kind of think we're going along that line. I know Dr. Carr has done some great work along those lines, but that may be one of the benefits of coming out of this.
Yeah, in fact, I was just going to refer to Dr. Carr because you took on this issue along with Dr. Clancy, the director of the HRQ.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's nice that these guys are – I was looking it up to make sure I got the words right while they're throwing me under the bus. We wrote a paper describing an emergency care sensitive condition, which I think – which we wrote with Dr. Clancy because the universe of ambulatory care sensitive conditions are known, make sense to folks. And we just sort of said there must be this parallel universe of conditions that emergency care makes an impact upon. And so I guess I think that we are saying – that most of the table is saying, yes, emergency care is very broad and probably we shouldn't regionalize at all. What is the subset that we want to regionalize? And I guess I would argue that the emergency care sensitive condition, the analog to the ambulatory care sensitive condition, is that which we might want to regionalize. And I promise you I would read the definition if I could find it. So ambulatory care sensitive conditions are conditions for which good outpatient care can potentially prevent the need for hospitalization or for which early intervention can prevent complications or more severe disease. Right, those exist, and we know what those are. And emergency care sensitive conditions, I still can't find.
I got it.
I did. I want to get the words right.
We can come back to you.
Thank you, sir.
Gary, go ahead.
I'm going to switch to someone earlier said we should define what emergency medical services is, and in the last 12 months or so, a term has kind of cropped up out here that's been fairly widespread adopted to describe those parts of EMS that aren't the hospital, and it's field EMS. That would not include the 911 center, so if we were going to talk about the 911 center, we need to include it specifically as well. But at the time this paper was written, that term probably wasn't out here, but it's widespread now, and maybe that's a better term to use in the definition.
Yeah, sorry about that. So emergency care sensitive conditions would then be described as conditions for which rapid diagnosis and early intervention in acute illness or acutely decompensated chronic illness improve patient outcomes.
So just to make that a little broader, I mean, we're talking about, you know, I think those conditions and people with symptoms of those conditions. I mean, I think that's where the differentiation is between the ankle sprains and the chest pain is that, you know, if we just add, you know, potentially high acuity and life-threatening conditions, I think that would be more reflective of what we do.
John?
I just thought I might add something to the discussion. I pulled up National Burn Repository and, of course, National Trauma Databank. So to get into the National Burn Repository, you have to first have a diagnosis of a burn. You either have to die, be admitted, or be transferred out to a hospital that can take care of you. That's the only way you can get into that repository. And it represents about 90% of burn centers in the United States. And then in the National Trauma Databank, you have to have an ICD-9 injury code. You have to die, be admitted, or be transferred up to a level of care, and that has about 90% reporting from level 1s and 2s in the United States. So it's a matter of diagnosis, geography, and outcome qualify you for that disease-specific registry and for both burns and for trauma.
Weighing in on this, I've come down in the group that favors focusing on very high acuity conditions and symptoms, because that's really where the time criticality piece of this comes in.
I do believe that everyone else profoundly affects how well the system can in fact deliver on that. And thinking back to the pre-lunch admonition that we look for common themes across conditions before we go into conditions, it seems to me in a sense, for lack of better terms, we're talking about measures of capability, capacity, and staffing across multiple conditions. Capability is kind of what we do when we designate various centers now. Often deals with stuff, but it can also deal with expertise, et cetera. Capacity is when we are swamped or on diversion or overloaded or out of ambulances or no 911 operators available. Staffing is clearly an issue, Dr. Cusk, we're getting to with on-call specialist coverage, et cetera, and systems that manage or manage that may be better positioned to do that than otherwise. All of those are, if you will, structure measures using the Donna Veeden's quality of care metric. Then there's going to be a whole other set of metrics on performance, which is the process part of quality, and then outcomes and costs. And it seems to me if we keep that in mind as an overall capability, capacity, staffing, performance outcomes, and cost, that we've got, oh, we're a long way towards where we want to go, but with a focus on high acuity conditions, time critical conditions.
Let's go to John.
Real quick. Well, when I first read this, all this material, I immediately thought of time sensitive conditions because that's all we deal with primarily. And I thought that we were going to be talking about regionalizing those conditions like neurosurgical problems, which do require personal expertise, staff, facilities, a whole host of things to make it work right. And just having a neurosurgeon on call doesn't make it a specialized capability. There are a lot of other things that are needed. And it seems to me that that is going to require a system that has identified facilities that can do that, and that seems to me to be part of the regionalization. And for some of the other things that have been talked about, I mean, it's the same way. A 16-year-old with an epidural with a dilated pupil has got about an hour to live before they herniate and die. So they are time-sensitive and need to be done. So that's where I'm coming from, and I recognize that setting up systems that are going to accommodate that may be difficult in various parts of the country because of the distance and a number of other factors. But that's how I came into this system, thinking we're going to be talking just about time-sensitive care.
All right. For the purpose of time management, we're going to have to wrap this discussion up pretty quickly. We have a few more definitions and a few other things to get to. So, Chuck, I'll let you have some last comments. I think there's pretty safely to say some general agreement at least about what we're talking about here. There's people shaking their heads yes. Some people are not shaking their heads yes. I think it's pretty safe to say that we have a general idea, and I think we kind of share the general idea of what we're talking about when we're talking about regionalizing services. It seems to me everyone's kind of expressed that in similar terms. So we'll certainly, you know, be able to redraft some definition that's more Helen, you want to jump in here? Go ahead.
Just one, again, a context piece. I think it's fine to define emergency care, and I think you're kind of coming towards that. There's lots of other opportunities in a framework, though, beyond definitions. So what it sounds like you're talking about is it sounds like there's probably a very important domain of sort of contextual issues around primary care access, ambulatory care, sensitive conditions that are going to be important to measure to be able to really understand the effect of regionalized emergency care. But it doesn't have to be part of your definition of emergency care, but it might be a very important arm of your domain or subdomain.
Helen, I just wanted to say, well put. I mean, the reason to go through these key terms and definitions.
I'm done.
well done, period.
But I get the microphone again, Ron.
All right, let's go to the next one, and we'll keep chugging away here. So the next definition, regionalization. This was taken from many reports. I see Ron's already got his tent up, so go ahead and fire the first shot, if you will, sir.
I think this is actually a very good definition. The problem I had is then you read the next one, and to me you use different words to say exactly the same thing. And I guess that's why I just bring up the lock, sort of lump them both together. I think they're saying exactly the same thing. And the question gets back to, do we need to spend a lot of time dissociating them or just recognize that they're integral parts of each other. Since you call this, actually, I guess the next one you use the word, it's regionalized system. And then the next word is system. So, you know, there's total overlap. So I would just bring that up as the first point of discussion as to whether these two, we need to spend an hour trying to dissociate these two concepts as pertinent to our goal.
No.
All right. Any other comments on the working regional regionalization definition as it appears on the board? No? We're all happy with that? Okay. Let's go to the next one then. Here's system. So I guess kind of building on what Ron was saying, is there a need to have this term defined? Is it integral to this process?
As I say, I couldn't tell any difference between the two, unless what you're trying to do is say that region is part of a system or something that way, but I really couldn't, just reading the words, I couldn't prove that from the verbiage. And I didn't know whether it was important to say that regionalized care becomes part of a larger system of care, in which case, if you believe, you know, if that's the important point, take-home point, I guess we could wordsmith it. But just from what's written up there now, I don't get that from it.
So fair enough, Ron. I think the reason that they were separate is just to have a discussion around this term regionalization. It means many things, or it used to mean many things to many people, and frequently they didn't intersect. I think when you start putting in the context of a system, you begin realizing how they would intersect, both in terms of geographies, populations, resources, and certainly any framework of a discussion of performance metrics, quality measures, and everything else. So I agree that systems kind of unifies a lot of the definitions of regionalization. And one of the key concepts discussions we had was on this emergency care. And once you tackle that with regionalization, I think the system is inherent.
I would just recommend if we maintain the word and definition of system, we may want to broaden it beyond, again, just the healthcare providers to include first responders, the public safety community, and certainly just community at large, since really, that's where the EMS systems begin, is at the community level, so that we're inclusive.
Well noted. Rick?
My little two bits on this is that I really hate the word regionalization. And the reason why I do, though I agree with it in many ways, like I hate patient satisfaction, but I love patient-centered care because one's measuring after the fact. You know, if I design it right, they're right in front of me. That's probably a better way to approach it. But if you look at that conference, it was actually called Beyond Regionalization, Building Integrated Networks of Care. And I don't know what the answer is on this, Chuck, but, mm-hmm. but you know, the reason we got that way is that a lot of people believe regionalization is all top-down. Remember when we kind of started saying we got to do things differently as well, but who's going to run this thing? If you look what's happening in the marketplace, people are aggregating together to build these networks, with or without us. And so I don't have a right answer, but somewhere along the lines, I just want to raise the question again. We don't want to make sure we're not using old terms that people believe in and stopping the innovative approaches that have to occur down the road. That's all.
I think it's a very fair comment. And frankly, some of our initial discussions with NQF and our partners were a rather pointed one about using the word regionalization. The mechanical answer was that's what the RFP was. I'm the departmental chair. I have to be a little bit practical when it comes to these things. But secondly, it did provide a really broad discussion of those issues. So again, I think this is an opportunity in this framework paper for us to define those. And I think the regionalization conference that SAM put together, I think the IOM workshop, really helped put these issues into a broader context, and they've historically been used. And so now it's a case of, again, making it functional.
I think what we have is fine, but you have to have some definition for a population. You can't measure quality without race, you can't measure rate without a denominator. And if you think back, Chuck, even to your original figures, those little funnel grants, that first funnel is population at risk. So somewhere in the definition, system could be a system for one person or a system for 300 million people, but what's the population? May not be geographic, but I do think there has to be some term in there that references that this is a population-based concept. Otherwise, we can't really, as Mike said this morning, Ralph, you can't measure care across systems otherwise.
All right, I just like, one, I agree with you. In fact, it harkens back to some of the earlier work done on emergency care and regionalization in the sense of defining a population within a specified geography. It's one of the old terms we used to use because whether we like it or not, Rick, I mean, a lot of these things are defined by geographical distributions, whether that's by a state, by a county, for example, in terms of EMS, or in terms of accountability, at least in our current system. So defining that as an inclusive population within a specified geography would be one approach.
Yeah, I mean, I just think whatever it needs to be for a defined population, because it could be geographical, but it could be the subscribers in your system. I think back to the IOM regionalization conference and David McGid's carrying on about how Kaiser patients were better going to their Kaiser hospitals than the nearest hospital or whatever. So I just think we can keep it open, but there needs to be the concept of population at risk embedded in it.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair enough. I think one of the challenges is when we get into ACOs and we get into Kaiser and other models is the intersection with EMS. It's just one of those things that I consider challenging. It's interesting how electronic healthcare records are definitely leading to development and of ACOs and concepts across those care settings for a defined population. But how EMS, which is caring for that population at this initial episode, has not been integrated. And I think that just may be one of the challenges I find when we select populations based on, say, an ACO model. But that's just for the group to discuss.
John?
To me, the one of the key differences between regionalization and a system is that a system implies that you have got a plan, you have authority, and that you have someone who's managing the operations of the system. And that's a lot different from regionalization, which can occur if somebody builds a cath lab and sends out an announcement to everyone, or if there's only one neurosurgeon in three counties, or if there's only one obstetrician on call at one hospital. Things will regionalize themselves based upon resource and market forces and all sorts of things that don't require any planning or any action. They just happen. But systems require planning and action.
So you're in the camp of keeping this definition in, I'm guessing?
Yes.
That was for context, Dr. Mayer. You notice that Dr. Williams also put the word N there for noun.
Use your mic, please, if you're going to talk.
But I think it does help deal with that very valid concern of the system being a plan as opposed to the random nature of the marketplace. As it does bring both parts together based on the traditional regional approach, but applying a overview system to make sure that it works as well as possible. And Art, you could also just put as a population-based system or regionalized system. And then you'd have your true denominator that you need.
Arthur?
I did hear a few moments ago the issues of, systems of care designed around payer groups and so on, accountable care organizations, Kaiser, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. At the risk of stating the obvious, we are here at a meeting of the National Quality Forum, not the National Value Forum. I think our first task is to define the quality elements and leave the economics out of it for the moment. I think there's no question that efficiency is vitally important, but I think the quality step comes first.
All right. Looks like we've exhausted. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I just want to say, to me, the regionalized implies some geographic boundary. You can have systems of care that define clinical care outcomes, the things that you have to do, but the regionalized piece says some geographic boundary. And you can have small ones and big ones and regional. The regionalized system of trauma care in my community is not the same boundaries as the regionalized system for cardiac care, but they interlock. And I think that if we don't keep, it goes to Dr. Kellerman's part on population, I think you have to measure it in terms of geography, or else you're not going to be able to measure it and it's not going to be meaningful, just my opinion.
All right, very good. Any other pressing issues with the word system, the definition, Skip?
I think what I'm hearing is folks are comfortable with the concept of regionalized care. They're comfortable with the concept of systems of care, but not quite so with regionalized systems of care. They may not be the same, and they may be overlapping in different ways.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've heard too. Yeah.
So we could carefully define something that simply doesn't exist.
Right. Which and the overlap or the potential areas of difference between the two kind of leads me to wonder if we need both of these to stay in.
Andy, just from our perspective and for your consideration, the reason to discuss these terms and definition was to just help inform the framework.
Right.
And so I agree with Helen's earlier comments that's the value of this session is to just so we can get some conceptual pieces out there so we can now kind of build the framework, whether it's across the system or across disease conditions.
All right, let's move to the next definition. We'll come back to this after we have some more discussions later on today, and we may very well agree that we need to keep both of these, or maybe we can ax one of them. But so we had regionalization, we had system, now we have system of care. Okay.
Yeah, it just modifies system, and I'll leave it up to you if it's valuable to go through this.
One comment I would have, not to put Mr. Wingrove back on the spot, but this might be an opportunity to further define the out-of-hospital component. If you wouldn't mind just repeating your comment about, I believe you said earlier that there would be a, perhaps a better term that you would use to define emergency medical services. I didn't catch all of that. If you could just repeat that, this might be an opportunity to further define the out-of-hospital piece.
Yeah, about a year ago, the term field EMS started to get used around D.C. here, and it was set up to describe those parts of the EMS system which aren't the hospital, but are done out in the field, not in a fixed location. It's gained a lot of popularity in the last 12 months and is used in a wide variety of forums and might be a good term to use here. I'm not sure it's intended to include the 911 center, so we might want to be specific about that in the places where we want to talk about the 911 center. But field EMS is pretty much the term of choice when talking about the parts that aren't the hospital.
I guess looking at the definitions, I guess I was just chatting with Art. My concern is that we're going to complicate or confuse people right off the bat looking at these definitions in an area that's somewhat already confusing if you're not familiar with the subject matter. So a little bit for the sake of brevity, it may be worthwhile to maybe combine one or two of these definitions into one. Any thoughts that you may have on that, Gary?
Personally, I like having them separated for this reason. When I first heard the term regionalization of emergency medical care, the first thing that popped into my head was finally somebody's going to be talk about having ambulance companies that serve a broad geography instead of having 50 ambulance companies in that same geography. So for me, I wasn't quite sure what regionalized emergency care was trying to get at, but that's what it meant to me personally when I first heard it. Seeing this definition on paper cleared that up for me, and that's why I think it's important, because my whole concept was we're bringing things together in a tight network, and I get the distinction now by seeing the term separated here.
I hate wordsmithing, and I haven't had this much fun since I was on the board of the American College of Emergency Physicians, but regionalized systems of care. Regionalized seems to me, in that word, we ought to be talking about defined populations, geographically or otherwise. Systems, to me at least, seem to me pre-thought, planned, organized methods of delivering services, et cetera, as we talked about, not the one-off or the, I'm just flying it by the seat of my pants, but we've thought it through. And care is clinical services delivered by whomever to help improve somebody's outcomes. Somehow when I look at these definitions, they're not lining up with that basic kind of syntax. I mean, systems of, we have systems of care definition here and we're describing populations. And in regionalized, we talked about how we're caring for them, not the populations themselves. So somehow if we get back to regional systems of care, and then you've got your taxonomy.
All fair points, Art, and I think the key thing is we're trying to put them in context for the discussion of the regionalized emergency medical services discussion. That was the reason to try to put some context, because there, whether we like it or not, there have been pre-existing definitions and concerns regarding all these things, and I would say in particular regionalization. And we got a lot of feedback, including some from our federal partners, that this would be one of our biggest challenges was to hit this definition. So we thought it was important to bring it forward.
All right. What's the next slide? Okay.
Domain.
I thought it might be like care or something. I wasn't sure. Geography or...
It too, Andy.
Right. So we are still being mindful of the time, so we would like to get through the domains and also the phases. And I know over lunch a lot of us chit-chatted about the episode of care framework that was laid out in the last session. And... you know, really coming in here today, what I conceptually visualize as the episode of care, particularly phase one, was not at all what we talked about. And it was a very expansive view of phase one from what I had envisioned. And, you know, I know there's a lot of concerns about that episode of care and trying to take what we're doing and make it fit. So I think it is worthwhile to have a little bit of a discussion probably at some point before we adjourn this session about the different phases and where these domains could potentially fit or how they interact. You know, one of the things that was of concern is that the episode of care, almost by necessity, is seemingly measuring one of the most expensive parts of the whole healthcare system, because you have an episode of care, someone needs treatment, automatically right off the bat you're generating costs. And, you know, the challenge to capture the things that we're doing on an everyday basis, and yes, I'm looking at you, Gary, because of the community paramedicine stuff and the prevention that, you know, you guys have been so successful at rolling out and doing, you know, we need to somehow capture that as value added as well, especially if we ever want to get paid or reimbursed for any of that prevention or, you know, preventing readmissions and all that stuff. It needs to be measurable. It needs to be in the framework somewhere. So I think at some point we need to just talk about the different phases, and maybe they are more expansive than we initially thought, and we can certainly help flesh it out, and it's going to be an important part of moving forward, especially for tomorrow. But I think for right now, let's get into the domains and at least try to get those working definitions down. Clearly, we have a little bit of work to do on the definition section we just went through, and I'm confident that with all the brain power in the room, we'll be able to have something that we can at least glance at by the end of the day or midday tomorrow to try to revisit and just see if we've captured everybody's comments and thoughts. So, Chuck, why don't we move on to the domains, and we'll I believe we have definitions for each of these as well, right?
We just have a little clarification what we're talking about. Again, these are all, by the way, in the draft report. People want to see the context for them. So the domains are detection and identification. Next slide. Resource utilization, medical care, coordination of care, outcomes. So we'll start with the first domain. Next slide. Domain one, detection and identification. So essential to measuring regionalized emergency medical care services is the evaluation of how an episode of care is recognized as it begins. Emergency care is defined in part by time sensitivity. Therefore, the measurement of the rapidity of detection and timely identification of the nature of an emergency clinical episode begins the process of scrutinizing an episode of emergency care. Domain two, and remember the wording on this is so that it fits on the slides. The text, I think, is better in the document. Domain two, resource utilization. At its most basic level, the concept of regionalization is about matching resources to patients. This domain evaluates the structural and process components of regionalized emergency medical care that catalog personnel, facility, and service resources and evaluate the use of those resources. Domain three, medical care. This domain, divided into three subdomains that identify where regionalized emergency medical care takes place, evaluates the actual medical care to patients within an episode of care. Basic question being addressed is, did the patient receive medical care that met accepted standards? And this includes evaluation of whether or not a patient in an episode of care received care that was timely and in accordance with broadly accepted standards and protocols for a given emergency medical condition. Domain four, coordination of care. This domain evaluates the connections between the various units of service within an episode of care. Regionalized emergency medical care services are comprised of many discrete components that must interact efficiently and effectively to achieve the best outcome for the patient. Five, outcomes. Measuring patient-oriented outcomes of an episode of care may be the most pragmatic method of evaluating the effectiveness of a system. While measuring structure and process elements are key to evaluating a system's functioning parts, the end result, i.e. outcome of an episode of care, may be the most obvious illustration of whether the system worked. I'm just going to reference Dr. Kellerman's suggestion on return of spontaneous circulation from cardiac arrest. So those are the five domains.
So the point of these domains or buckets or whatever your terminology you want to call them is that when we're looking at a system, the regionalized system of care, these are the domains that we would necessarily want to look at to determine whether or not, you know, we're getting good quality, if the system's functioning properly, all that kind of stuff. So these are the, put forth domains that we're going to be discussing, but I'd like your take on them. If there's anything that you think that we're missing, if there's anything that's maybe too duplicative, or if there's anything that just doesn't make sense, and Ron, as usual, or go ahead, Sally, you want to jump in?
Just to add quickly to Andy's point, and then tomorrow we'll break up in work groups and further dive into this whole idea. So we are definitely, in addition to the time today, we'll revisit because we realize how important it is to get these domains and subdomains at a point that we can move the framework forward.
I want to support. I think the domains in general are very appropriate and are the buckets so we can assess the system. The two, again, the flogging my pet horse today, I'm not sure why I didn't come in planning on this, but I take it within detection, and it sort of gets back to Art's hang up on population-based employment is the access. Because, you know, again, if half the people die before the 911 operator answers, you know, those who they do find may do well, but if half die unnecessarily before they get access into the system, there's a problem with the system. And so I would assume that's in there, but just to emphasize that not knowing who's dying out there is not good. And then the second half is for just discussion. I don't know how far we want to go into recovery with this process, because again, that's a major part of a good system is that not only you're avoiding the mortality and morbidity, but you're reintegrating those people back into society at the optimal level of function. And again, that may be more than we want to chew off in this session, but just it's a critical part of the system's outcome.
Gary? I'm wondering whether two things are already built in here or not. That would be, is prevention an appropriate thing to have in here? And the other would be along the lines of what Dr. Meyer just said in terms of readmission or the end result, the final end result.
So excellent comments. Thank you again. So on the first one, I think that phase one should certainly incorporate those issues, Ron. I think that that's a critical component of phase one that we need to get into play, including access. And then number two, I think this idea of outcomes is what we should define as kind of a measure of both phase two and phase three. And I think we need to figure that out. I think we need to define what's important. Prevention. Phase three. I think we're trying to look for a link for where regionalization of emergency care services should link with prevention. In a typical episode of care model from NQF, it would be phase one. I think the challenge that we face, though, is that we have people who intersect with us per our earlier definitions with an event. And so when you look at an event-based approach to this, I think there's a component for prevention and intervention in phase three, but I just bring that out as my interpretation of the episode of care, and I don't know if there are other interpretations of how one might incorporate it into the traditional position of phase one.
Other comments about the domain structure overall, Jesse?
Just a point of clarification, are these intended so each of the measures would fit uniquely into one of these domains, or because it seems like these are all really overlapping?
Yeah, I'll fill that. Yeah, I agree. I think that's sort of part of the point. The domains, first of all, and I appreciate the group's feedback, are essentially just titles that we came up with where we felt like there was, some reasonable categorization of where measures could occur. I think issues like access, issues like prevention, issues that are coming up that would be more specific to a certain measure could certainly go in whichever domain seems most relevant to that measure. And I agree with Chuck. Unfortunately, the slides don't do the sort of thought process justice. But within the draft, and specifically within our appendix, where we go through the MI example, I think we talk a little bit about possible measures that can fit within domains and which domains may be relevant for which particular phase in an episode of care. But it's certainly all subject to interpretation, and certainly there's some overlap.
I just want to give one more comment, because the value and frankly the learnings we've had as a group in interacting with NQF, who are clearly, the experts and the leaders in this endeavor, is having this kind of formal approach. So even though this framework is going to guide development and identify gaps and start to put this into a context of emergency care, understanding, how the folks who do these performance measures think, it has been very helpful. And so that's where the domains came from. We tried to put them in a structure where we could at least start to attack some issues. And this is a draft, Jesse, so we look forward to where you think things might go, could go, or intersect between different domains.
Can we put all the domains back up here just so we can get a visual? Nick?
I was waiting to see the slide. Thank you. The medical care domain has three subdomains, with the hospital components broken into two, emergency care and inpatient care. And I wonder if we might not benefit from
having a similar approach to the out-of-hospital care, where there is a definite focus in some systems to respond to emergencies, but then there is also a growing section that doesn't respond to emergencies, but is partially part of the prevention that Harry mentioned, but it has a different focus, but addresses the same system, or we would want it to be a part of the system rather than something not considered.
Gary?
I don't know if this comment fits in this section or somewhere else, so I can bring it up another time if that's more appropriate. If we think about regionalization as a population and systems of care serving that population, is there a chance we can get at the issue of people with time-sensitive, life-threatening diseases arriving at an emergency department not in an ambulance?
I mean, I certainly think all options are on the table. What do you think, Chuck?
Yes. I mean, I think that could end up in detection identification, for example. It could certainly end up in terms of the phase two of care and in the disease state. And it could certainly be an integral part of communication with inpatient specialty services, for example. So I do think that you could put in my interpretation, the walk-in to the emergency department.
Kathy?
Yeah, as we're looking at this sort of linear progression, and I hear it coming from sort of different directions on the table here, different comments about what about this part, what about that part. Where's the quality assurance and the feedback loop between these different steps that help the process to learn from itself and be self-improving? Where's the quality assurance part? Would that be down with outcomes where you're actually utilizing the final, whatever the final disposition is, patient really didn't have an acute injury or illness, or they had a broken hip or whatever, and then you go back to say, well, how do we detect and identify? Are we getting a bunch of broken hips from this certain nursing home because there's a fall trip potential, and who's going to go out and fix that thing? We need to have a way to identify quality assurance loops between steps, or maybe from the outcomes back to the detection identification, and I don't know where that would fall or what we would call it. The system has to learn from the things it's doing, and there has to be interaction between the different steps to help inform and make the learning happen.
Yeah, and I certainly think quality assurance should be built into probably all of these, but then also seeing this as one picture, you're going to have that vision of what happened to make the 911 call all the way through what happened here, and I think that's going to make the quality assurance even more powerful. Chuck or Jeff?
I would add, Kathy, I think that's one benefit of the episodes of care approach. I mean, I think depending on the specific measure that you're talking about, a measure of such concept could either fit in coordination of care or potentially outcome, just depending on what the measure itself was defined as. But the episodes of care approach, as we sort of exemplified earlier, I think phase three is where some of that occurs, sort of the ongoing care and or continuity approaches and or looking at the processes that have come before. And where the opportunities are to measure those. So I think depending on the measure, it could be in one of multiple domains, but the phase in which that would occur is probably phase three.
I turned it off. Sorry, Andy. I knew it would happen at least once. Great comments, Kathy. So imagine, and we've got two separate frameworks here. We've got these domains set up, and then we also have this episode of care model where we've got different phases within that episode of care. And I think at each and every phase, I agree with Andy, there should be quality assurance and there should be loops and that whole kind of quality management perspective. Number two, you'll be able to then define or at least identify characteristics across phases that are important to both the units of service within that episode of care as well as coordinating care for a specific disease state. And, you know, we've got some small groups set up, if I understand correct, Sally. Sally. And there are some specific questions that I think hit some of those key issues, because I think that those are what we were thinking were important.
Well, go ahead, Jesse.
Just looking at, thinking about all the potential overlaps here, people have talked about prevention and, health care versus medical care, and what are we talking about here? And I think that another potential way to organize it would be that medical care could be the kind of the meta dimension, and then underneath that you could have the different areas that people get the care, and then under that you could have potentially the different resource utilization, coordination of care, because really different, having medical care and coordination and resource utilization is a separate dimension. I'm not sure it makes sense. So,
well, we're open to all suggestions. Again, that was a draft just so we could get some of these issues out, understanding that the typical framework for these performance measures is to develop these domains and from these kinds of perspectives. So in that context, medical care is only one of many potential domains for quality or performance metric. And that's why regionalization of care may be distinguished by its need beyond medical care. So there has to be coordination of care. There has to be this appropriate resource matching. There has to be identification across the system, or, as we've had a pretty big discussion, an all-inclusive population within a defined geography. And I think that's one of the challenges we face as we move to this dimension of regionalization of care beyond specific components of medical care and an episode of care model.
I mean, even issues like reciprocity, clearly a great component of a regionalized system is reciprocity, so where would you, plug that in? And that's not necessarily just inherent in medical care, so...
Right, but if we think about where the subdomains sit, we have resource utilization and coordination of care in the emergency department, in the out of hospital area, and in the inpatient zone, and I think ultimately if we want to take performance measures and have them kind of map back to dimensions, if it can be within an individual, a unique bucket, I think it's going to be a more sensible way to organize the domains.
Can I just make one comment to that? So, Jesse, thank you for the suggestion. Again, this is all valuable, and if the group feels we can model it out any number of ways. One thing I did want to distinguish, when we were thinking about these, we didn't think about a single unit of service in quality and performance metrics within that unit of service, especially measures that were exclusively within that unit of service, because we didn't think that would be serving this concept of regionalization or system, because we wanted to get those components that would clearly cross units of service or that would clearly involve integrated systems of care. And so going into a silo for emergency department care, while it may be extremely valuable to a broad population of patients, and there may be good evidence for a specific performance measure, if that care and that performance is really isolated to the emergency department setting, then it may not be serving the purpose for regionalization, which is to try to understand that resource within this broader context. And so that was one of the reasons that, not pushback, just trying to absorb those perspectives.
Well, just trying to differentiate the different resources. I mean, we have the role of the emergency department as a diagnostic unit versus a treatment, hospitals and emergency departments as treatment units. And I think that there are probably ways to regionalize both of those that are going to be somewhat overlapping, but not always overlapping. I mean, you can't, it's difficult to make the diagnosis of a subdural if you don't have a CT scan. And I think when we start talking about a lot of these rural communities, in regionalizing emergency services, it's not necessarily about putting a neurosurgeon there, but part of putting a CT scanner there. So I think that they're kind of differentiating by zone is appropriate.
Thanks.
John?
I'm not sure it's the right way to go, but one of the things I've been trying to model here in front of me is using these as in column one, and then creating three more columns to the right, one for population at risk, one for evaluation management, one for follow-up. And mapping across, I was just looking at the 30 measures that you identified to see how they might fall in, and then the projects. You had 28 projects, I think, and 30 measures that you identified.
John, you know, that was just to inform the concept here. Let's not be wedded to those.
No, I'm not, but I'm trying to make a point. Systematically, I think they drop in.
So John, can I comment on that, Andy? Hey, it's a great idea. In fact, one of the things that we were thinking of in the context of Helen's comments, and basically an evolution of our thought from the discussion earlier, is that if you could imagine, I just substitute your horizontal access for phase one, phase two, phase three of the episode of care, and then I plot on top of it, and I suspect there are two things that are going to come out of that. Number one is that we're going to find there's a baseline, phase one, phase two platform that reaches across general elements of emergency medical care, and then I think there'll be some condition-specific elements that cross it as well. And it'll be interesting to see not just how it works out in terms of a grid, but how it might work out in terms of a map.
And then within each of those cells, you would have to weight the value of the measure, because you could find measures that would fit in each of those cells, but certain of them will have great value while others may not.
Frankly, I think we'll find that a lot of them don't exist, and then what we'll do is we'll get prioritization for identifying them potentially, John. But that was my comment. Sorry, I was reacting, though, because I think this is a good synthesis.
Dr. Kerr?
It feels a little bit like there's something missing before detection and identification, like a system readiness kind of thing, and some sort of incentive to be prepared to build it ahead of time. And I don't know if that's the right structure to do it or if it's all rolled into phase one in each of these. I'm sort of on the fence there, but I love this idea of the X and the Y axis.
Great point, Brandon. And I think, you know, the phase one discussion, I think, is going to be a critical one. Because frankly, our federal partners have been pushing us on this, and appropriately so, is how that infrastructure, how we have these processes in place to take on these critical issues of preparedness, of diversion, of overcrowding, of surge, and they're really important.
So perhaps the other, along that same line, Brendan, maybe capacity, capability, access is that first, because until you know sort of what's the lay of the land to detect and identify is going to be difficult because you don't know what's the current state.
That's great. I think we just got a sixth dimension.
I like that a lot. So, you know, I'm sure we all thought about this before we came here, about what are some things that, you know, ideally if you're going to measure a regionalized system, what are things that you would look for? So as you kind of go back to your mind and click off those items that you've thought about ahead of time, as we look at these domains, is there anything else that we have missing? Are there buckets up here buckets that are not up here that you would like to see that are important for measuring the system? Nick, I know you've talked a lot about the public and the first responders and training of those people. Is there a category up here you think you could plug into? Is there access issues that Ron's talked about at great length? Some of the stuff that Skip and Gary have talked about, the preparedness stuff that Brendan just mentioned. Do we feel like these domains, and I think we should probably add that a sixth one, is there anything else that's missing or that would, the addition would add greatly to the discussion of the framework? Are you back in time to comment?
Well, it's hard to keep wheeling my neck around. The neurosurgeons have already had one whack at me. I don't want to let them have another one. Does resource utilization adequately encompass issues of lack of access due to overuse or inavailability of resources? So I'm thinking back again to capability versus capacity. I mean, if we are on diversion, if all the ORs are full, if there is the one OB-GYN for the two counties is on vacation because Lord knows she or he gets at least a week off a year, is that reflected in that domain, or how do we address those issues? I mean, are we going to, one would hope that if we do get to truly regionalized systems, that real-time ongoing monitoring of capacity and load balancing is a really important part of that process. And I just want to make sure that as we aspire to the future, that we are both recognize the importance of those issues and, in fact, measure those so that we can see how systems perform.
I'll address that briefly. First of all, I'll say that it's very easy, I think, for the group to take a look at the domains, especially since we've talked about the episodes of care approach as a longitudinal time-wise approach. It's very easy to see the domains in a time-wise approach, too, but that's not necessarily the intent. I would second Dr. Kellerman's comments that in the draft, at least as we've addressed it in the draft, some of the issues regarding access, regarding capacity, regarding, for example, issues regarding crowding and diversion, those are discussed within the domain of resource utilization to some extent. Now, clearly, that's not all utilization. Sometimes it's just a discussion of what structural measures could potentially be there. But I think it's up to the group. I mean, I think certainly we could create a sixth domain that addresses specifically capacity, capability, and access, or we could fold it under resource utilization, although I agree that perhaps reordering them or possibly making them not as visually time-based would perhaps be more clear.
Yeah, much of the discussion today has centered around the episode of care model. The reason I would agree with an additional domain for sort of capacity and preparedness issues is because those things, you can make a tie between them and the episode of care model, but it's a stretch to do so. And it's also one of the core issues when we talk about whether EMS fits in the realm of public health or medical care or public safety. That's the linchpin of that discussion there, because you don't pay for preparedness and capacity in a system that's otherwise compensated for an episode of care.
Yeah, just to play on that, it continues to drive me to distraction that we talk about surge capacity in this country when we know on any given day or any given night how many hospitals are on diversion and how many EMS systems have no ambulance available. And yet we talk about surge capacity. And because we aren't tracking and reporting and aren't aware, you could go to the HHS Secretary's Op Center now and you would have no idea what the current load capacity of the major 20 metro areas in the country is. I just think that's unconscionable. And so if we want to move the field, I think we do have to make sure that there are measures that if you call yourself a system, there are certain things you ought to be regularly monitoring. One of them is your load capacity and how much you're carrying and whether or not you've got folks offline or not. Dr. Files likes to pick on the FAA, but the FAA knows if an airport's open or it's closed and whether you're diverting a lot of air traffic. Yeah, okay.
That would be a relatively easy job, because the truth of the matter is we probably don't have any surge capacity. We have the ability to move a problem around a little bit, but if you go to the metro area where I live, the average hospital is about 105% of capacity every day, and there's just enough ambulances and just enough paramedics to run the expected number of calls. So, yeah, we can move a problem from here to there and shift something in 3 hours or 6 hours or 12 hours, but right now there is no surge capacity.
Well, I, with all respect to our federal partners, I thought I read a report recently that we have lots of surge capacity and preparedness because our hospital administrators said they had it. We'll go over to Nick. I'll be quiet.
So, yeah, I think that it's a good discussion point on whether or not to add a sixth domain. And I don't know whether it should be a set sixth domain or an experimental sixth domain, but certainly it's got to be incorporated in this capability, capacity, and access, because I think it kind of incorporates at least a lot of the discussion if people agree.
Nick?
Andy, you drew me back in. the area that could potentially be in resource utilization, but it's not a very good description for it, would be regulatory issues, scopes of practice, licensing, credentialing, those, just kind of that domain of
that includes training and education, the official act of allowing somebody to do something or to not do something. Those kinds of things, I think, are also important to include in a system.
Yeah, I actually had that written down here. I was kind of struggling where I would plug that in, so I'm glad you reminded me of that and brought that up. Any thoughts on, and I want to make sure, Christy, too, you had brought up e-health and, you know, all that, you know, utilization of technology and all that. I want to make sure that you're comfortable with the domains and there's places for you to plug that in and capture that, especially with all the great work you've been doing. So I guess I'll just ask you, do you feel comfortable with this work for you?
Yeah, I think it crosses into several categories, coordination of care, several of them, so I'm comfortable with those. I do like adding the sixth category, though.
Gary?
So I agree with Nick, and just want to say it a slightly different way. So we have a population in a region. We have a system that's got a bunch of parts that are intertwined but done separately. And so system governance then also becomes an issue of you know, the feedback actually affecting the whole system and how that system is governed to make sure that all of those pieces are accountable.
You're right behind the picture there. Go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with the access, capacity, capability sixth point. I'm wondering if number two should be workforce and resource utilization in keeping with the points that have been made by Nick and others.
Well, I think there's enough agreement that we should probably add that sixth bucket. Let's try to populate it tomorrow and just see what we come back with. And if we do see a lot of overlap, we can always condense it at the end of the day tomorrow. But I think at this point, developing the framework, we want to shoot for the moon and let's be all-inclusive and ask for all we can. And then if we have to pare it back or, you know, make changes to make it fit better into in this model or this scheme, we'll do that. But, you know, this is really a blank slate, like we said in the beginning. So if you're setting up a system to look at regionalized medical care, what are the components? So let's not limit ourselves and let's try to populate as many of these as we can. Other comments or other discussion on the domains? I know we wanted to talk briefly about the different phases. We've got about a half hour until we break. Do we have the phase of care slide? Can we shove that back up on the screen for just a minute? I think somebody had that earlier in the day. Sorry about that. And Chuck, do you want to just talk a little bit more, or maybe Sally might be more appropriate since you're more you know, in tune to the NQF processes, but this was a process that was developed by the NQF, I believe, to look at other areas, and we've kind of adapted it for our use here with some modifications as we have talked about today. So maybe you would just want to give a little bit of background and maybe describe how it's been used in other areas?
So as NQF has continued to work in both endorsing measures but also guiding the development of measures, they realized that it would be a great idea to come up with a conceptual model. And so through a lot of efforts and working with a consensus based steering committee such as yourselves, it's also an endorsed framework, this episode of care model was put forth. And we've been applying it more and more as we move forward. But we realize, in particular when we're talking about an area such as this where we're looking at systems, that it may not fit perfectly. So when we challenged our team in UNC to think about how this framework would work in the context of thinking about regionalized emergency medical care services, what we need, what we have now, where we need to go in the future, I think there was a lot of effort in thinking about that. And I think what we've learned is that there is some advantages to this model. But we also realize going in that you're going to uncover some limitations. And so there's a couple of options as we think about this, whether it's adapting the model to make it work. So perhaps I had a side of our conversation with Helen in thinking about what you all were speaking about this morning, that rather than trying to produce an episode-based model for each condition that may be time-sensitive and life-threatening, is there a generic model that thinks about the system and then and captures these cross-cutting measures so that we're not trying to reproduce measures that could actually look at the system for every condition. And then as we think about particular conditions that are life-threatening, that's where they enter in phase two, where they become an offshoot. So an example
and I don't want to get into too much detail without you having the graphical example, there was an AMI episode done by one of the cardiac groups in applying this model. And they had the AMI episode, and then they had trajectories coming off of that for different types of severity that occurred with AMI because the treatment and needs for those two populations was very distinct. So taking that kind of approach and thinking about a generic model, and this being the generic model, but really a regionalized emergency medical care model, and then maybe the trajectories are when needed for particular conditions. And so to think about, as has already been started, this phase one could perhaps be where we think about some of these preparedness issues. The population is the community that's going to be, that you need to work through this emergency medical care system. So that's what we were thinking. We know that there's maybe some limitations. You may even identify some complementary conceptual model that needs to accompany this. We're not trying to force any, you know, a square peg into a round hole or any of that nature, but it really is a starting point. And I think we've learned a lot already so far. So we offered it as a conceptual model to this group, and we'd like you to kick it around as much as you can, take it where it can, and then also let us know, you know, what and if there are limitations to it. That said, I think we want to make sure we spend time talking about these different phases and the trajectories that may come off of this model to support the measurement area. We do know that it does help measure developers to think about where they can start developing measures. It gives them a little bit more context because it's so when you're thinking about a condition or in this case an emergency medical care episode, it's so broad and challenging that to provide more context within the different points is a helpful exercise to continue pushing us to better assessment and better quality. Okay, and so as far as the domains that have been put forth, I think what I've heard so far is right. I think we'll find that the domains will come up at different points of this episode. The domains themselves don't have to only fit in population at risk for, you know, the first domain, et cetera. So I don't think it's going to be we're going to have the same type of relationship. And, in fact, I can imagine that the domains in some kind of Venn diagram, and then as we look at these episode of care models, we might think about how to illustrate how the different domains interplay with the different phases. I don't think we're going to have all of the first two domains just in phase one, the next domains in phase two, et cetera. So if you think of resource utilization, that potentially would be a bar across the bottom that encompasses the entire episode related to emergency medical care services. Same with coordination of care. What will be helpful for in thinking in terms of assessing those is that there will be different types of services you would want to coordinate and assess the coordination, or different types of services that you're going to see high or low utilization that you would want to measure, et cetera. It doesn't, as said before, always get to appropriateness, but I do think there's room for measures of appropriateness within an episode of care. Other components of the domains may focus more on certain phases, and that's okay. I think we let the context and the content of the domains in the episode lead us in that direction. So.
Very good. I think that's very helpful. So is there any other questions or concerns or inquiries about the domains and how they relate to the phases? Is that pretty clear? What do we think about the episode of care model? Everybody seems to be, is it something we could work with? Do you feel it'll be a good fit? Is there things we need to define, phase one, phase three? See how it goes tomorrow. Take a break.
Overall, I think it looks good. One of the things you could consider is having another phase after phase three, which and trying to differentiate hospital care versus what happens afterwards, because that seems to be all lumped in. because, you know, lumping in ICU care with care coordination and integration back in the community seems pretty different.
It fits most of the time, but it doesn't fit load issues and it doesn't fit mass casualty events, and those are unique when we're talking about regionalized systems, as opposed to a typical NQF where we're analyzing quality of care for a particular clinical condition involving a particular patient. So I think we just have to be constantly aware that this works within most contexts for an episode of care involving a patient with a life-threatening or time-critical condition. But when you're talking about managing emergency care in a community on Friday night or after a tornado, it's going to be very different.
Just going to remind Art of his earlier comment that if you build in the capability as part of the process, then you will be able to deal with the Friday night issues. So it does become covered within this paradigm.
Art, if I could just comment on that, because I think that you've got phase one where you can put a lot of those kinds of issues in. I think that time-sensitive care and what works for a patient can work for 100,000 and 100 million patients if we've got the appropriate conceptual framework, appropriate resource matching, and then the appropriate drivers and philosophies. Clearly, the specific measures for an episode of care for one patient aren't going to be the same as they are for 100,000 or a million people. But that may be yet another reason why we need to add this domain and include that in there.
I think I'm attempting to be explicit in what NQF's mission is implicitly. We're measuring quality in order to improve it. And in this case, we are discussing an approach to beginning to get our handle around quality for regionalized systems of care with a goal that we will help, in fact, fashion high-quality regionalized systems of care. So it's important to keep these concepts in mind.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a conundrum trying to figure it out, because the episode of care model works well in many ways. And, you know, Jayco and others use tracer methodology, that sort of stuff. The thing that I take an Art's point is when you're measuring a system, one of the things that's not seen very well is what's the capacity? And then where are we in relationship to the capacity? Interesting enough, you know, in California years and years ago, they actually started making the hospital put online how many beds they had. And it was fascinating because all of a sudden the diversion issues disappeared because we all knew. And you could see when people were getting their higher level, EMS could distribute better. So that was a system issue. And the thing I'm interested in is, you know, as you start measuring, how many times you have capacity in the system but not in a particular place. And that allows you to do system management performance too.
I agree.
Mike, Tom, John, anybody from that end? Okay. Art?
Yeah, somehow, in speaking about the system as opposed to the condition, we need to really, I think of the phases more as input, throughput, output, as opposed to, you know, the current definitions that are particular condition or disease related. You know, capacity is certainly part of that, but it's and a huge part of it. But it's more than that as well. But I have to think this through a little bit more. But I'm trying to think of how you could sort of take this model and, following Sally's suggestions here, kind of morph it a little bit. You know, so that it fits the system model a little bit better. Cogitate on that overnight, but I think that when systems engineers look at systems, you know, they're always looking for the, you know, the rate limiting step, or steps, and I'm not sure that the episode of care explicitly captures that. And I think Art's point, Rick's point, that capacity is a huge part of it is true, but there may be other factors as well.
All right, we are almost to break time. Is there any other comments that we have, any concerns or questions about the phases, about the domains? Tomorrow we will be getting into small groups to work on the domains.
And you'll be, I believe we're going to have, what, 5 or 6 breakout groups, is that right?
3 breakout groups.
I'm sorry. 6 people each, that's what it is. So be thinking, you know, throughout the day today and then tonight about some of the key indicators that you would like to see in each of these buckets or domains. And you'll have a chance in your small group to probably dive, take a deep dive into 1 or 2 of the domains, but then we'll also convene as a group and, you know, be able to share. So don't think you'll just be limited to those 2 domains or 3 domains that your group gets assigned. We obviously want your input on all of the domains. So be thinking about that tonight and the rest of the day. So with that, I think, unless there's any burning issues, we're going to take a break now. And we got done a little bit ahead of time, which is good. So it's 2:40. The next session's at 3:15. Why don't we take about a 10-15 minute break, and let's try to be back by 2:55. That'll keep us ahead of schedule. So come back about 2:55, and we will adjourn back then.